Hello, this is Hugh Baird, and I'm your moderator for this evening. I'm here with State Senator Art Haywood, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Haywood at any point this evening, you can press star 3 on your phone's keypad. That's star 3 on your phone's keypad if you have a question for Senator Art Haywood. Now I'd like to welcome Senator Art Haywood.
Thank you, Hugh, and thank you to all the residents participating on tonight's town hall. Some of the best feedback and ideas that I've received come directly from these telephone town halls. I'm Senator Art Haywood, and I'm holding this live telephone town hall where we will be discussing issues that are important to you and answer any questions that you may have. This format will allow you to listen in and even ask a question from the comfort of your home. If you'd like to ask a question at any time, press star 3 on your phone. Excuse me.
Senator, thank you very much again. For those that have just joined us, if you have a question for Senator Haywood at any point this evening, you can press star 3 on your phone's keypad. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood, press star 3 on your phone's keypad. And Senator, while we're having some people join us here and getting on the line and getting screened, I know this is a period of time where the governor just gave his budget address. Mm-hmm. We're going into a different phase in the consideration of policy and issues. Can you give the folks that have joined us a little bit of an update on as to where we're at in the process and what you're looking forward to?
Sure. So the governor's budget was announced on the 4th of February, and it had a number of things in it that were consistent with what I have requested the governor to support. It included about $6 million for gun violence prevention. That's for grants to organizations that are actively reducing gun violence in their neighborhoods. Some of these organizations are very effective, and I think providing them with funding is part of the solution. For the environment, he announced further steps for the state to join several other states in our region in something called the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative. This is basically states in the northeastern part of the U.S. joining together to develop a cap, a maximum, on carbon emissions so that we can reduce the carbon emissions that we all know and scientists are very clear on is causing the climate change and the really threat of catastrophic environmental issues for our planet. Third, the governor maintained his commitment to education. He's putting about $100 million more into K-12, even more into higher ed. Folks may not know that Pennsylvania is rated the worst state in the nation, 50 out of 50, the worst, in funding higher education. And, of course, as a result, we have the highest student loan debt of any state in the nation. The less the government puts in, the more families have to put in. So I'm glad he's putting a significant increase in higher education and maintaining the grant that's provided to Pennsylvania students at the same level as it has been in the past, maybe a slight increase. We may be able to work that out. He's also continuing his push to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour in the next 5 years. We had an agreement in the Senate where we passed raising the minimum wage to $9.50 an hour in 2 years, but nothing happened in the House, so that deal is dead, and we have renewed our effort to get to $15 an hour in the next 5 years. So on matters of economic justice, I'm glad that the governor is still trying to improve the conditions for families in terms of pay and access to higher education. In terms of social justice, what he's doing to try to decrease gun violence is tremendous. And finally, in terms of environmental justice, joining the Regional Gas House Initiative will have a big impact on our ability to work with the states around us to reduce carbon emissions and hopefully save the planet. So I was very happy, I got to tell you, I was very happy with the governor's budget proposal.
Thank you, Senator. And again, for those that have just joined us, if you have a question for Senator Haywood this evening, you press star 3 on your phone's keypad, star 3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, before we get into the callers, I just wanted to ask you a little bit about just a real quick question. I know eradicating poverty was a major focus for you last year. You did a statewide tour. The governor's budget included a number of things that you were focusing on in the tour. Can you provide a little bit of guidance for those
yes.
that joined us about what occurred?
Sure. Yeah, glad to do so. So the biggest impact we saw on the tour, one of the biggest, was that individuals who are trying to get out of poverty would get a low-paying job at, say, $7.25 or $8 an hour, and then they would lose significant benefits because of these low-paying jobs and could be somewhat in a worse position because the pay was so low. And so the loss of public benefits, which includes food, housing, health care, the loss of these benefits was a real challenge. It's sometimes called a cliff where all of a sudden you make a little bit more money and then you lose these benefits. And so the Wolf administration is looking at a plan so that people can have a more gradual loss of public benefits to smooth out the process of going from benefits to pay. That's a tremendous initiative under the governor's budget. Second, we identified in the poverty tour that a number of individuals who were trying to get to work couldn't make it work because the child care they had was not available at the times of when they were working. Child care was not available in the evenings and weekends. And so the Wolf administration has created more funding and support for child care, and that's very important so that folks who go to work will have a place for their children to stay while they're at work. There are actually a few more pieces of the poverty tour that the Wolf administration, a few part of our some of our recommendations that they adopted. We got a lot more work to do, but this is a good start.
Well, thank you, Senator. I know that was a major focus of yours last year. Continue to work on the number of issues and those items that were included in the budget. Senator, we're ready to go to the callers. Senator, we're going to go to our first caller. We're going to go to Glenn. Glenn, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Yes. How are you, Senator Haywood? How are you doing?
Pretty good. Hanging in. How you doing, Glenn?
Okay. I have, I lost both. I'll make it quick. I lost both my parents to cigarettes. And I passed the tobacco settlement. And I know the state gets millions of dollars from that settlement. But from, again, my data may be wrong, but I've just noticed that there is only like 22 cents. I'm sorry, only 4 cents of every dollar from that settlement is ever spent to take on the state's 22,000 deaths. And I wonder why.
So you're raising an important point. I'm not exactly certain about the dollar amount, but I do agree with you that more of the tobacco settlement money should go toward cessation, should go toward preventing cancer, lung cancer.
Education in our schools, all kinds
yeah.
of, even taking on Wawa, you know, that sells some of the institutions or businesses in the state that, you know, freely
yes.
sell cigarettes to anybody.
More should be done. I'm 100% with you. Now, what has happened is that each year the state budget is usually short some money, and so for the last 5 years that I've been in Harrisburg, there's been basically an effort to, I call, raid different funds, to go after different funds where there's money available, and then some of that money is used to cover the general fund, cover the general expenses, which may be the courts or
yeah.
parks or, you know, other.
Yeah, I understand that. But, see, I just can't get over the fact that 22,000 people dying isn't worth a little more attention. I just don't get it.
It is. I think you are right. We should not we should not raid those funds. What happens, unfortunately, is in Harrisburg for the last 5 years is basically a question of whether we're going to pay for the government by raising the revenue to cover the government, or not raising more revenue to pay for the government and instead raid all the funds where there may be some money. And so we get into a box somewhat, which is we're not going to raise sales tax, we're not going to raise income tax. Once that decision is made, then we're left with raiding funds, and some of the costs of government are just going to go up. Healthcare is going up for everybody, in government, outside of government. Healthcare is going up. Fuel is going up, whether you're in government or not in government. People get some level of pay raises, whether you're in government or not in government. So there's some cost of just having the government year to year. And if we continue to raid funds, it's a challenge. Now, there are a number of members of the General Assembly that are very concerned and complain about it. Not enough to stop it, but I agree with you 100%. I'm glad you raised that our attention. I just got a report earlier today about the use of the tobacco settlement money. I haven't looked at it fully, but Glenn, I'll try to get back to you on how it looks like it's going to be used for this upcoming year. Thanks again.
Glenn, thank you very much for your call. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood this evening about any issue, press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3. On your phone's keypad, if you have a question for Senator Haywood. Senator, we're going to go to Rose in Mount Airy. Rose, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Good evening, Senator Haywood.
Good evening.
My question is relating to I'm a senior in Mount Airy, and I have spoken with some of my friends and neighbors, and we are totally fed up with letters and phone calls and postcards about trying to buy our property. And I want to know, what can we do about that? It's becoming an irritating problem.
Thank you so much. And I've talked to a number of people who have said they've been harassed as well. So in terms of the phone calls, the best advice I could give is, number one, I encourage people that if you see a phone number and you don't know who it's from, don't answer it. Let them leave a message and decide whether you want to call them or back or not. But this is also advice I received from the Attorney General's office. If you get a phone call and you don't know who it's from, the best thing is to let it go to voicemail and then answer it if you want to. That was from the Attorney General. That was from a perspective of scams. Quite a few scams come from these calls as well. Second, in terms of the mailing and the flyers, I don't think there's much we can do. If people do have a right to use the mail, I don't think there's really any limitation on the use of the mail to contact folks. Now, I would say this, though, the third thing is, if you or any of your neighbors have some of these flyers, if you could drop them, one or two of them by my office, that's at 7106 Germantown, just at Germantown, Mount Pleasant. We may be able to do some investigation on some of these companies.
Because I have plenty of them here because I save them. I do not throw them away. So I would be happy to do that.
Great. So my office is pretty much 9 to 5. Monday through Friday now. 7106 Germantown Avenue. Just drop them off. Let them know that we talked over the phone, and we'll begin to investigate it. But I've heard similar from other folks. It's a real challenge with people trying to gobble up the properties in Mount Airy.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Rose.
Yes, thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Rose, thank you very much for your question. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to Adrienne. Adriana, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Yes, Senator Haywood, good evening. My question to you is about this state. What is the state doing about directing more funds to mental health? You've got people in mental health who are taking their medication, who see their psychiatrist, but then you have the homeless, and you also have people walking around not seeing a doctor or taking any medication. But the funds are almost drying up with mental health.
Thank you so much. So I got to tell you, I do agree that what we're doing in mental health is not enough. And we have had some, we haven't increased funding at the level of the need, really no place near the level of the need. The governor in the end of December began an initiative to focus on mental health across the state. He has a task force to look into it. He's coming up with some recommendations to address it. So I would say, even though we're not doing enough, the governor has recognized it and has come up with some recommendations. I don't have all the governor's recommendations on mental health, but if you leave your contact information, we can get that to you. I think in terms of direction, that in the past, we haven't done enough. But I do think there's a renewed effort to look at mental health. What we have done is had insurance companies to treat mental health the same way as physical health to try to get parity on that for insurance coverage. I think we have made some steps there. So mental health mental health services are reimbursed as our physical health services. We still got a lot of distance, but I think that's one improvement we've made. But we hear it not just for the homeless. It's a challenge for young people. You know, part of this gun violence could be addressed if our young people had more mental health services. Suicide, we hear a lot about gun violence, but suicide is bigger than homicide for gun violence. So it's even though we hear a lot about the homicide, somebody getting shot, it's always on the news. But the suicide is bigger in terms of the number of people losing their lives. So I agree with you 100%. I'll get we'll make sure we get to you the proposal from the governor, which is new. I've been in the legislature 5 years. This is the first time there's been a governor who's got a proposal to deal with mental health. So it's the right direction, you're right. There's so much more we need to do.
Adriana, thank you very much for your call. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3. Senator, we're going to go to Yolanda. Yolanda, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Good afternoon, Senator Haywood. How are you?
Good, good. Good evening.
So my question to you is, has there been any talks in Harrisburg regarding affordable housing? And here's why. I am a bachelor's degree in nursing, and I'm unable to afford a house in the West Oak Lane section of Philadelphia with the prices skyrocketing like they are.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So affordable housing is a core challenge for a lot of incomes, not just low-income people, moderate income, like, say, working people. You're in the workforce, you're making decent money, making good money, and still having a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing I would say. One, we were able to get $15 million more to support affordable housing in the budget last year. And that money will go, some of it to encourage home ownership, some of it to encourage rental, so it's more affordable. We have had conversations about tax relief for seniors who are retired and not working any longer, and the taxes have gone up, they got challenges, or home repairs have been delayed due to retirement. We were able to get $400,000 actually into West Oak Lane, but that was for retirees who needed some minor repairs so they could stay in their homes. But the broader issue, which you're talking about, which is the prices are going up, and as a result, properties are no longer affordable. The only thing that we really have in place for that is the home ownership support from the Pennsylvania Housing Finance Agency, which can have a lower down payment. So the down payment can be lower, and the interest rate can be a little bit lower, so that the loan you can afford, the amount of the loan that you can afford would be a little bit bigger. But I talked to a friend of mine, he's been living in my area. think he said he bought his house in Mount Airy in 1970 or somewhere around there for $30,000. And like Adriana, as Rose mentioned earlier on the call, people are going all around the neighborhoods trying to get people to buy, sell their homes. And for him, the $30,000 house that he bought, he was offered $375,000. $375,000 to sell his house. So there's a lot of pressure on real estate values. I think we can make it. We can make it easier to get better interest loan and some down payment. But the real estate market is changing. You're definitely right. You're definitely right. Prices are going up.
Yeah. I mean, to the point where you're basically giving them each your full paychecks each pay.
How much are the houses going? I mean, like, what's the purchase price you're looking at around there?
The purchase price in this area, they're between 220 and 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big change. I mean, I've been involved. I was with Ogonce Avenue Revitalization doing renovations of West Oak Lane in the 80s, and it was no place near 220 or 300. I would encourage you to come by my office. The Pennsylvania Housing Finance Agency is a statewide agency. They do have some programs for down payment assistance. They do have some programs to lower the interest rate. If the interest rate is low enough, then that really can make a house more affordable. I encourage you, Yolanda, to come by. We can share what PHFA offers. It may fit. I can't guarantee it, but it might fit. I'm over at 7106 Germantown, right at Germantown in Mount Pleasant. We'd be glad to share the resources we know about.
Yolanda, thank you very much for your call. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood this evening, you press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to John. John, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Good evening, Senator. I'm interested in what happened to the minimum wage bill. Why was it either voted down in the House or never got to the floor, or who was responsible for not putting it on the floor?
Yeah. Thanks so much. So we voted it out of the Senate, sent it over to the House. The governor supported it. It was part of the deal. It was a very modest deal, in my opinion, to get to $9.50 an hour in 2 years, with basically going up 50 cents every 6 months or so. Very moderate. Got to the House. And the speaker, Terzai, never brought it up for a vote. I'm confident that if it had been brought up for a vote, it would have passed. But he never brought it up for a vote, and that was the end of it. Now, I guess on the good news side, Terzai, the speaker, is not running for re-election, so he'll be done in December of this year, and hopefully we'll get more people who support raising the minimum wage. Hopefully we'll get more people who believe in that in the state house in November, the November elections, so that when we come back in January 21, if we get some new leadership in Harrisburg, we'd be in a better position to raise it. But it was a crime. You may not know that 7.25 is about $15,000 a year if you work full time. The poverty line for a family of two is about 16. So you're working full time, you're still in poverty. And I just want to refer to the tour that you, Baird, mentioned. We went to Lock Haven, Keysport, Erie, Scranton, and Philly. We went to these towns to hear about how people saw themselves getting out of poverty. And we asked the question of, what can you do? What's going on to get out of poverty? And what we learned, or what I learned, is that people are in what I call a poverty box. Like any box, it's got four sides. And unfortunately, in the middle are individuals and families. But on one side is low pay. And these are people working in poverty pay jobs, $7.75, $8.25, $8.50. That's one part of the box. Second part of the box is affordable housing, which was Yolanda was talking about, which is retired from people living in cars, not having an affordable place to live. You need a place. That's a basic part of stability, is having a place to live, a stable, reliable place to live. Third side of the box was child care, which I mentioned a little bit earlier, that the governor is helping to address. We talked to a number of people. Job is in the evening. Job is over the weekend. No child care to fit the schedule. Can't work. And then the last wall of the box was transportation. And these were folks all over the state where they lived in an area where there were no jobs or very few that paid any decent money. And then the jobs were in the surrounding suburbs. And they didn't have any access to these jobs. We met one guy, we had one story, somebody spending $300 a month for Uber or Lyft. $300 a month. Hey, you have, you know, how much money you got left? You're making $8 an hour after you put out $300 a month for Uber or Lyft to get to and from work. So that is the box that many of these struggling people are in. And wasn't they had lack of character or lazy or anything like that? They're in a box. And low pay is part of it, John. Thanks for calling.
Well, John, thank you very much for your call. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to Diane. Diane, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Good evening, Senator. I wanted to ask you about funding for public education, because based on real estate and other funding mechanisms, some schools get a lot more per child than others. What can be done to provide more equity in terms of school funding?
Thank you. Yeah, that's a critical question. There's one thing, well, there's more than one thing, but the main thing that I think we need to do is fully fund the Fair Education Formula. Let me take a step back. In 2015, we in the state adopted a formula for funding the public schools in Pennsylvania where the poor schools would get four times the money of the rich schools. Poor schools would get four times the money of the rich schools. So this was to create more fairness. Now, the challenge is only new money is going into that formula, not all the old money. And so I think I've heard it might take 40 years or so for the new money to catch up so that all the schools are fairly funded. So the number one thing we need to do is accelerate the transition to the fair funding formula so that we put more money into the fair funding formula so that we achieve that formula, 100% of that formula, in 6 or 7 years. That'll give schools some time to make the transition. Some will get more, some will get less. But we need to put a lot more money into that formula. So I do believe that today we have a formula that will fairly fund the schools. We just don't have the money in it. And we need to accelerate putting money into the formula so that the poor school districts can get four times the rich districts. I think that is the number one thing to do. Number two, we've got to address these old buildings that have lead, mold, asbestos throughout the state. We know that we know schools are closing in Philly because of the asbestos, but there's asbestos and lead in schools throughout the Commonwealth. Now, the governor has proposed $1 billion. $1 billion is a lot of money. He's proposed $1 billion to deal with the lead and the asbestos throughout the Commonwealth. I would say that's the second thing we need to do. We need to fix these schools. Now, I do believe, and people may not be comfortable with this, I do believe that we've got to do more to demolish some of these old schools and do new construction. Demolish the old, some of these old ones are in bad shape, and do new construction. That's what was done in Ohio and some other states where there was a big commitment. It cost a lot of money. It was a big commitment to knock them down and start all over, because some of these schools, I saw in the Senator Sharif Street, we were talking about this last week or the week before, putting money into a school that's already 100 years old, I don't see it's going to make it another 200 years, another 100 years. So it's 2020. Repairing a school that was built in 1910. You know, how far is that school really going to go? So I think we've got to take a careful look at demolishing and new construction in some of these buildings, because I don't see a building built in 1910 making it to 2050.
Well, Diane, thank you very, very much for your call. Senator, we're coming down the home stretch here.
I did want to have one question. I want to raise one thing, respond to John, who talked about raising minimum wage.
Right.
I'm sorry to jump in, but I'm extremely optimistic that we will raise the minimum wage either by this year or 2021 when we get a new legislature. So I don't want him to think I'm pessimistic. I'm disappointed that we didn't do it this year, but I'm very optimistic that we will get it done. And I'd be glad to talk, John. We got a big effort to try to raise the minimum wage at the McDonald's in Cheltenham, 29 East Cheltenham, right on Cheltenham, right by Germantown Avenue. I'm trying to help that owner realize he's got to raise minimum pay there as well. But I'm super confident it's going to happen. I'm disappointed it's taking so long, but I don't want him to think I've got any doubt that we're going to win. I have none.
Well, Senator, do you have some concluding comments for in general?
Well, first of all, I want to thank Glenn, Rose, Adriana, Yolanda, Diane, and John for calling in. As I said at the outset, I get so many good ideas from these calls. I will follow up Glenn on the tobacco settlement. Rose, I hope you come by and drop off the flyers with respect to people trying to, you know, get everybody to sell their homes. Yolanda, please come by my office. We will have some resources with respect to affordable housing. And Adriana, as long as I have your contact information, I can give you information on what the governor's mental health plan is. I just want to thank everyone for their calls. Again, they're so valuable. Now, if you didn't have a chance to ask your question, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we will get back to you. Thank you again for your participation. If you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my office at 215-242-8171, or you can visit my website at senatorhaywood.com. Have a good evening, and have a good Valentine's Day tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Senator. Thank you to all who have joined us here for Senator Art Haywood's telephone town hall. You've been a wonderful audience, and enjoy the rest of your evening.